Welcome to the Thursday broadcast of Sovereign Grace Today. This week, Michael Goins is directing us in a study called Developing a Christian Mind. Thus far, we've talked about the role that the mind plays in the Christian life, the call to think like Christ, and the priority of spiritual discernment. Michael has belabored the point that the challenge of Christian discipleship is to think biblically, not secularly, about life and the world. The ability to apply the principles of Holy Scripture to daily life in this world is a mark of spiritual maturity. Now today, he wants to answer the question, how? How can a Christian cultivate the habit of viewing the world around him in a way that honors the Lord Jesus Christ? He calls today's study, Be Renewed in Your Mind.
My text today is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This week we have been talking about the need to develop Christian minds. We've been talking about the importance of growing in our ability to distinguish between the world's philosophy and Christ's truth. Now, the apostle makes reference to this in the text that we've taken today when he says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word prove in this verse literally means discern. The ability to discern the will of God in every given situation of life, to sort through the issues so that we understand what pleases the Lord, is a mark of spiritual maturity. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, the writer says that we're to be of those of full age, we're to grow towards spiritual maturity, and we're to be like those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Notice the ability to discern between good and evil, right and wrong, truth and error, is a mark of spiritual maturity. Now that's certainly true in the natural realm, isn't it? Grown-ups are much wiser than children. And their ability to consider what might happen, to distinguish between fantasy and reality, is much more refined and developed. And that's because they are more mature. It's also true in the spiritual realm. The more sanctified that we are, the more like Jesus Christ, the greater our ability will be to discern between good and evil. Now, you and I live in enemy territory. This vile world, as the hymn writer Isaac Watts said, is not a friend to grace to bring us on to God. In fact, it is difficult to live a godly Christian life in this fallen world system. And that means that discernment is a priority. Now, when we talk about the need to be discerning people, do we mean that Christians should suspect everything and everyone around them? Well, the answer is no. Discernment, you see, is not synonymous with a spirit of paranoia or suspicion. A discerning mind does not look for the proverbial ghost in every closet. It doesn't automatically assume the worst. But a person who has discernment understands that because the universe is locked in a great cosmic conflict between competing world views, the need to look at life through the lens of Scripture is crucial to 2020 spiritual vision. In other words, a discerning mind is a mind that thinks in terms of contrast, that understands that because God exists, absolute values also exist. Everything in the universe, therefore, must be measured against that reference point, against that objective standard, to see if it is good or evil, right or wrong, true or false. The person who is alert and discerning, then, is the only person who will be able to resist the pitfall of deception in his or her life. When the swift philosophical currents of popular culture seek to rush us off of our feet, we will be able to stand fast to the glory of God at that point. Now, Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, what he's telling us in this verse is that in order for us to develop Christian minds under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, screening the world around us with spiritual discernment, we must maintain constant exposure to the Word of God. Perhaps you have listened to what I've had to say this week and said, "Now, preacher, you've convinced me that the need to cultivate a Christian mind, to think biblically about life, is a priority. But would you please tell me how?" Perhaps you're like the person who borrowed a book from a trusting friend on one occasion, and as he read the book, he noticed that his friend had penciled into the margin from time to time the three letters YBH. When he returned the book, he told him he appreciated it and enjoyed the message. He said, "But I have one question for you. Why did you periodically pencil the letters YBH in the margin?" And his friend explained that as he read, he would agree with the author, but the question would arise in his mind, "Yes, but how?" And he said, "That's the meaning of the letters YBH. Now, perhaps you've been writing the letters YBH over our program for the past few days this week. "Yes, but how do I develop a Christian mind?" Well, Romans 12:2 tells us. It tells us, "Be not conformed to this world." That is, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't accommodate the world's way of thinking, but be transformed. And that word simply means be different. The call to nonconformity, to be different from this world system, is intrinsic to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." And you say, "Yes, but how?" Here's the answer: by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. None of us, my friends, is wise and insightful enough in and of ourselves to be able to sort through the mental jungle of life on our own. Unless we maintain constant exposure to the Word of God, unless we are regularly renewed in the spirit of our minds by God's truth, then you and I will inevitably gravitate toward the passing fashion of this age. We will literally be drawn into the world's way of thinking unwittingly. Every believer then needs regular adjustments to his or her thinking. And you say, "How do I get such adjustments?" By Bible reading, by hearing the gospel preached and taught, by exposure to Christian fellowship. You see, these are the resources that God has provided to renew our minds. If we ever get away from the renewing influence that God's Word has on our minds, then we will inevitably slide back into the world's way of thinking, those old patterns of thinking that characterized our pre-conversion days. That, among others, is one of the primary reasons that regular church attendance is so important to a God-honoring Christian life. May I speak personally for just a moment? It doesn't take long for my mind to become clouded and confused when I neglect to expose it to the resources that God has provided for my spiritual growth. Because I'm literally bombarded every day with information and ideas from the popular media culture, I need regular reminders of what is true. And the gospel gives us such reminders. You see, the gospel exercises a saving influence upon the believer. Romans 1:16 says, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Yes, the gospel saves us. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, that it saves us if we keep it in memory. He says, "Brethren, I delivered unto you the gospel which I also received, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I've preached unto you." Now, obviously, he's not thinking of salvation from the penalty of sin in this verse. Paul is thinking in terms of the delivering influence that the gospel has in our lives right now. You see, the child of God is delivered from fear, from anxiety, from discouragement, from worldliness, from disobedience, from life-dominating and besetting sins through the gospel. It is as we keep the gospel in memory that we're saved. Now, somebody says, "Well, preacher, that's just my problem. I don't have a good memory." Well, how does the believer keep the gospel in memory? Not by having a good memory, but by being reminded of it on a regular basis. You see, gospel preaching saves the believer from false teaching and worldly philosophy by stirring up the pure mind by way of remembrance, as 2 Peter 3 verse 1 says. Whenever I hear the gospel preached, it tends to refocus my spiritual perspective, and it corrects the distortions that have developed during the week in my thinking. Even though a person may know and be established in a certain truth, yet for that person's safety from the deceptive influences of this fallen world system, he needs to hear that truth repeated over and over and over again. I like Paul's words in Philippians 3 verse 1. He says, "Brethren, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." In other words, it is for your safety, it is for your benefit that you hear these truths over and over and over again. Without regular and ongoing renewal of a person's thinking, that person will inevitably fall prey to error and deception. So when he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," the apostle is saying, brethren, expose your mind on a regular basis to the Word of God. This is how we develop Christian minds, by literally saturating ourselves in the Scripture. The late Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that the Christian ought to be so regularly exposed to the Word of God that he bleeds biblene. That is, he would bleed the Bible if he were cut. And that is how frequently we ought to study the Bible. I suspect, however, that many Christians do not use their Bibles like they should. All of us, no doubt, feel our shortcomings in that area. Do we not? And that's why we are so easily deceived. That's why we so easily buy in to popular ideas and philosophical fads in our culture, and we don't have the ability to distinguish between truth and error, good and evil. We ought to ask ourselves, whenever we hear or see or are exposed to a new idea or any idea, we ought to ask ourselves, what does God's Word say about this? You see, let God be true and every man a liar. Any time that man's ideas contradict divine revelation, we must do what Moses did when he found an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. He killed the Egyptian. Now, any time two scriptures in this Bible seem to contradict each other, we should do what Moses did when he found two Hebrews fighting. He tried to reconcile them. But you see, any time that man's ideas cross the Word of God, we must say, let God be true and man a liar. Now, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. My friends, I need, personally speaking, regular inputs from the Word of God. I've heard people before confess that they were self-starters, but I frankly wonder if any such creature exists. I certainly don't believe it's true in a spiritual realm that a person is automatically so spiritual that they don't need to read the Bible, and that they're automatically so spiritually mature they don't need to pray or they don't need to attend public worship or fellowship with the saints. These are the resources that God has provided for us to be able to live fruitful and God-honoring Christian lives. And we need these resources. We need these inputs. If not, then we will automatically gravitate toward the path of least resistance and fall in line with the cadence that is popular in this fallen world system. The Bible tells us, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." Be sure and listen for the conclusion of this study tomorrow on Sovereign Grace Today.